You're listening to Graveyard Show Classic. Classic.
Good evening, friends of the undead. I am the Deacon of Darkness, the posthumous pimp, Freak Show.
And I am the Diva of Dismemberment, Mistress of the Blade, June the Meat Cleaver, from the Bordello of Horror.
You're getting your freak on with the Caretaker on the Graveyard Show.
Step into the graveyard with the Caretaker at graveyardshow.com. That is graveyardshow.com.
Podcast number 51, January 7th, 2010.
Hi, I'm Shannon Lark, Fangoria's 2009 Spooks model.
I am Stacey Ponder of Final Girl, and you are, I have no idea who you are, but I do know that you are listening
to The Caretaker on the Graveyard Show.
To the graveyard. Enter the graveyard every Thursday night, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. And now, coming to you from Los Angeles, please welcome your host, The Caretaker.
You are listening to the Graveyard Show podcast, open for the first time here in the year 2010. I am your caretaker, and I'm very happy to say that the graveyard is open. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to the Graveyard Show podcast online for our second year. Just celebrated our first year anniversary on, of all days, New Year's Day. What a nice day to have an anniversary. Hope everybody out there had a great holiday season. We did here at the Graveyard. We were shut down for a couple days, and we liked it. Got a lot to get to for tonight's show, first show of the year. As you heard at the top of the show, what better way to start the year off than by inviting Shannon Lark, who is the 2009 Fangoria Spooks model, owner, founder of the Chainsaw Mafia and Viscera Film Festival, which, of course, the Graveyard Show was one of the sponsors of. And, of course, Stacey Ponder, writer of the blog Final Girl and Wednesday contributor to American Movie Classics Television's website, amctv.com. We've got a lot to talk about. It is a two-part interview. Tonight, you will hear all about the making of their film, Ludlow. And if you missed my first interview with Stacey, we talked quite extensively about the comedy of errors that it took to make this film. That would be podcast 34. Shannon joined me almost about a year ago during March, the Women in Horror Month, here on the Graveyard Show podcast. And if you want to go back and listen to that, that would be podcast 14. So Shannon Stacey will be joining me in just a little bit. Originally, I was supposed to have Ray McDermott on the show from FilmRadar.com. Unfortunately, my schedule did not permit Ray to be here. He was ready to go. Unfortunately, I just could not make it happen on my end. So I'm going to make it up to you and Ray by having him back next week. All this will begin in just a little bit, and you're going to hear it right after this.
This is 911. What is the nature of your emergency?
I've been robbed!
Please list the items in question.
My latte is only a single!
You're calling from a cell phone, aren't you?
Yes.
In your car?
Yes. And there's definitely not $1.50 worth of sprinkles on top. They totally ripped me off!
You drive a blue BMW, this year's model, don't you?
What?
License plate XYZPDQ?
Yeah.
For frivolous waste of 911 operator time, you are removed from the gene pool. Don't let this happen to you. Make sure your emergency is a real emergency.
Wishful thinking, eh? But wishful thinking is the root of good fiction. For more good fiction, check out 19 Nocturne Boulevard at www.19nocturneboulevard.com. That's 19 Nocturne Boulevard.
And welcome back. Some of you may or may not already know this, but Hannah Neurotica from the magazine Axe Wound has declared February Women in Horror Month. And it's something that's caught fire not only across the country, but in a few other countries as well. Canada and the UK and here in the States, there are going to be a lot of events going on during the month of February to celebrate Women in Horror. I've been in contact with Hannah, and as soon as she gets all the information put together in a press release, she's going to send it to the show. I will pass the word on to you. Now, what I can tell you is this. Our friend Raina Young, Miss Misery, up in the Bay Area, the Queen of Bay Area Horror, as we call her, well, she is going to be presenting a Women in Horror convention in San Francisco at the San Francisco Center on 1800 Market Street. And that's going to be on Saturday, February 27th. And the Graveyard Show is one of the proud sponsors of the event. Now, the guest list includes, but is not limited to, the following. Of course, Raina Young will be there. Di Green, Dottie Lux, Casey Hansen, Michelle Fatale, Val Kilmore, Sally Smith, Jenny Rector, Bunny Pistol, and Judy Serta, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Lady Monster. That's just some of the guests that right now are scheduled to be there. And again, that's going to be on Saturday, February 27th in San Francisco at the San Francisco Center. Of course, as the details roll in over these next few weeks, I'll be passing that along to you. And we're looking forward to having Raina on the show as well in the month of February to talk about it. Admission is free. That's right, free. So you just need to show up and have a good time. If you want to find out more, you want to keep tabs on this, go to lastdoorwayproductions.com. That's lastdoorwayproductions.com. And, of course, we have to send out congratulations to our friend Rich Peterson at the Bordello of Horror and Madison Horror Film Festival. And, of course, the man who is running the show here when I've been away. The Bordello of Horror just recently made its premiere on Madison, Wisconsin public access channel, WYOU, this past Saturday, or really technically Sunday morning. And it's going to be having a nice run on WYOU over these next few weeks. Hopefully it's going to remain there for a very, very long time. It is on at Sunday mornings, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., if you live in Madison. And if you don't live in Madison, well, guess what? You can still check out the show. And it's real simple. You go online, you go to wyou.org. That's wyou.org. And you can watch the show streaming online. So the wonders of modern technology never cease to amaze. And, of course, it's always good to help bring all of our independent horror producers, give them a wider range of audience than they normally would have. So go out, support the Bordello of Horror every Sunday morning, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. if you live in Madison and in the time zone. And if you don't, WYOU.org, WYOU.org. And I'm going to talk to Rich and see if there is any archiving of the show. So if you happen to miss it, hopefully there's a way you can catch it as well. But congratulations, Rich, on making the move from the internet to public access and back to the internet. So it's great to hear, and we wish you all the very, very best in your newfound home for the Bordello of Horror. Okay, music in just a little bit, but first, before we get to that, it's time to introduce our guest for the evening. And as you can hear in the background, well, we're not really... Well, we are. We're digging two new graves for the year 2010, but they're familiar guests to the show. She is the 2009 Fangoria Spooks model and founder and owner of the Chainsaw Mafia and the Viscera Film Festival. Of course, we're talking about Shannon Lark. And Stacey Ponder, the writer of the Final Girl blog and AMCTV.com contributor every Wednesday. Get ready, folks. Part one of two. And I will see you on the other side. Enjoy. And what a better way to start 2010 than by welcoming back some friends of the show. Shannon Lark is the As you can hear, Shannon and Stacy are here. Shannon Lark, of course, is the founder and owner of the Chainsaw Mafia and the Viscera Film Festival, which the Graveyard Show was one of the proud sponsors of for 2009. And she's also the 2009 Fangoria Spooks model. Stacy Ponder is the writer of the blog Final Girl and is a Wednesday contributor to the website amctv.com. Both recently just finished working together on their films Ludlow and Lipstick, which we will talk about in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome both ladies back to the show. Hi, Shannon. Hi, Stacy. Happy New Year.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Well, it's great.
It feels so futuristic.
Well, it's great having you both back on the show. First off, though, I want to ask Shannon, now that we are in 2010, now that the calendar's turned over, I noticed that you have not turned into a pumpkin now that you are no longer the Fangoria Spooks model. How does it feel now that you've passed the torch on to somebody else?
I feel older and wiser, I think. Maybe that's just, I don't know. That's maybe just by getting older and wiser. But it's totally fine. Like, no hard feelings. I'm not jealous. I'm not upset. I did not cry into my pillow the past couple nights. So I think that I'm going to be okay. It's actually kind of liberating, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this new year and all the things that are kind of come, you know, between me and Stacy, but, you know, for all sorts of things. So I think it was, you know, it's time to you know, look up and out to the stars, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, because you were busy last year. I mean, it certainly must have taken a lot out of you.
Yeah, and, you know, it was really good, though, because I came back to New Mexico from San Francisco, and that was a huge change in my life because I wasn't doing the Living Dead Girls anymore, and all of these other projects that I had going in San Francisco that was really, they're really taking away from the time that I needed to be focusing on my filmmaking career. Mm-hmm. So working with Fangoria and, like, doing the shows with them, I'm like, okay, I'm really ready to really be focusing on directing and writing and acting, mm-hmm. you know, doing a lot more features and stuff like that. So it's been a great year, 2009 was, but it really helped me to hone in on what I really wanted to be doing.
Well, now, when I had Stacy on the show back in August of last year, we talked about Ludlow, and we talked about her website, Final Girl, where the two of you had done a diary about filming, you know, the movie Ludlow. But Shannon, I got Stacy's thoughts on this, but I didn't get your thoughts yet. The infamous contract written on a napkin that you did on the Queen Mary. Why don't you tell everybody out there what that was?
Okay, so Stacy and I met at the Paranoia Film Festival, and we went to the bar and started drinking, and I was, like, you know, pretty tipsy after one drink. That's pretty much all I need. And, you know, her and I had just met, and I had done the Viscera Q&A with a few other filmmakers, including Heidi Martinuzzi, and Stacy was there, and she was actually very nice to film it for us. And so I was like, yeah, let's go to the bar. Oh, and when she met me, I was carrying around this old omelet with, like, sour cream. Because, like, I had to check out of my room, and, like, I didn't have a fridge, so I was just, like, carrying around this omelet. And I was in this, like, really ugly, tacky, orange, like, gold, shimmery dress. I don't know what the I was thinking. So we went to the bar, and, I, you know, we had drinks, and there was this band, and they were all, like, Southern California kind of band, and, you know, with the guitars and everything, and we start, you know, I was like, hey, have you ever heard of, like, the most retarded thing to do ever, which is to write a contract on a napkin, because a lot of people have been taken to court over this, blah, 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 so just learning about it. And so that's exactly what we did. And it wasn't just one contract, though. It was several. How many, Stacy?
There's a stack of them.
Yeah.
But most of them are just about, Shannon was a little bit kind of drunk, I guess, and so she was really into the idea of me giving my autograph to people, and so she started autographing napkins for me that I could then give to people.
Oh.
Because the idea of signing an autograph to me is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. So she was just helping me prepare for the future. So I still have, like, a sack of napkins with my signature by Shannon Lark on them.
There you go. Collector's
but
items for
like
all.
It was like, love, Stacey Ponder. Which is obviously something I would write. So
this contract stated, at least the first one stated, is I wanted to work with Stacey because I saw Top Friends and you know, the Ghost Hill series, and then especially Taste of Flesh, Taste of Fear, which is going to be coming out on the Viscera DVD. So that's how Stacey and I met, is because she's a filmmaker. And so, you know, I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, Taste of Flesh, Taste of Fear. Yeah, you know, cinematic genius, which is great because it has Barbie dolls. And I'm like, you know, I really want to work with you. And so the first contract was stated that I would act in a Stacey Ponder film, and I would bring joy or something to everyone on the set. Like, I had to actually enjoy it. And I had to bring happiness to everybody while I was working on this movie. So that's kind of how the whole idea of Ludlow started.
Yeah. So it's just, and I was like, okay, that's neat. Like, I guess I'll write something for you now. So now looking back on it, at first I was like really flattered by it. Like, oh my God, this person wants to work with me so much she'll sign a napkin contract. And then I'm like, wait a minute. She just like napkin contracted her way into a starring role in a film. Like, who's the idiot here?
She played you. She totally played you.
I totally got played.
Yeah. I mean, now she has a contract for life, right? Now she's in everything that you do.
Yeah, like, I don't even know what I was thinking with that, but...
Yeah, so now it's like, now, it, what is it, what is the next...
Now
one
I have
of the other contracts.
All of my movies.
Yeah,
but
I guess technically it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, it could be like, maybe a picture of you, or...
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Is the loophole is that it does not say in what capacity I have to put her in the film.
Yeah.
So I figure I can just use extra footage from something else, you know, or have a picture of her in the background or something, and that would count.
There you go. See, it's
kind of
always
like
the
Where is Waldo? Sort
exactly.
Yeah. Very Hitchcockian, you know. I mean, you know, because he was in every one of his movies, I think. So it's just a matter of finding where's Alfred Hitchcock. And now, speaking of Ludlow, Stacey, why don't you let everybody out there know what the film is about, or what can you tell as far as the story goes?
What can I tell? In a world where men... No, it's basically about a young woman who has left her abusive boyfriend, spouse, whatever relationship they have. She's left him, and she is waiting at a hotel in Ludlow for her sister to arrive, so they can travel to a new city and a new life. And while she's holed up in the hotel, she's drinking and taking prescription pills and engaging in all sorts of behavior that she shouldn't be engaging in. And it's just kind of 3 days in the hotel with this person who's spiraling into a really bad state of mind.
Yeah, now, you were kind enough to send me a rough cut of the film, and I did see it, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really well-made film. And Shannon, you did a great job acting in it. I'll get into the acting in just a second. Stacey, though, when you were on the show last time, we talked about the comedy of errors that happened while you were making this film. And at the end of that interview, you were getting ready to go back out with Shannon to do reshoots. So my question is, how did the reshoots go? Or I shouldn't say reshoots, but additional photography. How did that go?
It went really, really smoothly.
Really? That's
yeah.
great.
I think because so many things went wrong the first time we traveled to Ludlow to shoot the film, we gave ourselves extra time this time around. And we really only had one scene to shoot, and we booked 2 days in the hotel and all of this just in case something went wrong, and nothing went wrong, and I think we finished shooting what we had to shoot in about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And it just went, even though it was effects heavy, it was like the most effects of anything in the film, really.
Okay.
But it went extremely well, really smoothly, and then we ended up being stuck in Ludlow for 2 days. With nothing to do.
And the room was there.
Yeah, really,
and
weird.
Everything
yeah.
was good with the room and no problems.
Well, the only thing that was different, actually, is we couldn't get the same hotel room.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, the air conditioner was broken or something, and it was August. And you're just in the middle of the desert, you need an air conditioner in your hotel room. The room was slightly different.
Okay.
But we made do. So.
Okay. Now, Shannon, Stacey and I talked about your role
and how I think that a lot of your fans are probably going to see you differently when they see this film. It's such an intense film. You give such an intense performance. What can you tell about this role without giving too much away as far as preparing? And I mean, I would think that in some ways it would affect you slightly, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it totally affected me. So, you know, I think it was good that there... I think it helped add to the mayhem that so many things went wrong while we were shooting, and we had to pack it into 2 days to shoot this thing. So, yeah, it was an intense situation. I mean, it was... I constantly had to be... I had to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a method actress. I don't want you to think that I'm like, you know, I was like insane, you know, but like Stacy, it was really good working with Stacy, and it was nice to like pretty much have no crew, mm-hmm. because it was so easy just to snap into it. Because Stacy and I were creating the atmosphere that needed to, you know, to get me to that point of whatever I needed to be in whatever scene we were shooting. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a whole bunch of people and time to really, you know, to really be like, okay, now we're going to do this. And, you know, and then like, you know, maybe 3 hours later, like we actually shoot something.
Yeah.
So it was great because it was so intense the entire time. And so it made it a lot easier for me to actually get into my role.
Yeah. And certainly a lot more intimate. I mean, because it's just the two of you. And you don't have that crew, you know, wandering around and people setting up and a lot of distractions that would normally occur on set. But you mentioned how the distractions and everything, you know, with things that were happening while you were making this film. But did you find at times that it was tough to focus, or was it something that once you started going that it was pretty easy to slide right back into?
Once I started going, it was really easy. Like the really intense scenes, like whenever she's like, you know, she's like screaming on the phone and like freaking out and like covered in blood. I mean, those are like some of my favorite things to do anyway.
Yeah.
So Stacy just had to get me to the point where I was like shaking and practically in tears. So that means that basically what we would do is we would just, she would, you know, we would maybe run through it once or twice, but then she would shoot it, and we usually do like 4 takes if it was like something that insane, just to get into it. And sometimes it would look great on the camera, but I wouldn't feel like inside that I was there.
Yeah.
And that's so funny as an actor, what you have to experience, because you know your performance might be great, but it's like you weren't there. So it affects you, and so you'll want to do it again. And not every production is going to allow you to do it again. So Stacy was very trusting with me, like me being like, okay, I really want to do that again. And she's like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Even if I thought it was okay, if Shannon didn't feel comfortable with it or wanted to change something else, I would, you know, let her do it. But then there's a lot of scenes in the film that were just one take. Especially a lot of the effects-heavy stuff. There's a scene in the bathroom that's pretty effects-heavy, and that was just all one shot. Like, there's several scenes like that we just didn't have time to kind of get Shannon all bloody and then clean her up and do it again.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, boom, 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 we got to get this done. And so I would just roll the camera and be thinking ahead to the editing process and knowing that I can just piece together what I want.
Well, yeah, Stacy, let me ask you this, because, I mean, certainly for Shannon, you know, being the main, I mean, the star of the film, also, I mean, I think she was in, I mean, alone, probably 85% of the film, maybe more, I guess. How for you as a filmmaker, now you're not just directing, you're shooting it, you're doing some effects, you're, you know, trying to do set dressing, I'm sure Shannon was as well, but as the director and producer, how did that affect you trying to work under this time limit? Because you only had you only had 4 days the first time you went out, and then you went back out the second time. So what kind of mindset were you in while making this?
Well, I think once we got kind of screwed out of 2 days of our shooting schedule, I think I was a little bit panicked for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And
for those who didn't listen to the first interview or may not know, it was a power outage that had happened at the hotel. There were all kinds of stuff that was going. The room wasn't available after you had reserved it.
They lost the reservation.
Yeah.
The power went out. All this. So our 4 day shooting schedule basically got cut down to about two. But the footage, the little bit of footage that we did get to shoot on those first 2 days, like the there's some driving sequences and some exteriors that we got to do, that kind of got me into the groove right away of working with Shannon and knowing what I could expect from her and how we could communicate. So it was just really, even though it was a time constraint and there were plenty of times where, I mean, I had everything storyboarded out. I knew what I wanted. But then you get in the space, and sometimes your shots just don't work.
Yeah.
Or I don't have the technical expertise to kind of get the camera to do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like you just kind of got to, okay, that's not going to work. Let's move on. What is going to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have – it was kind of nice not to have the time to wring my hands and cry over losing a shot. Or – like there's a few scenes that we changed locations. There's a scene that was supposed – when her sister shows up at the hotel.
Yeah.
The dialogue scene between them was originally supposed to take place at a diner.
Okay.
And we went over to the diner to shoot, and it was just kind of noisy. We just couldn't get it going. And so
there's a biker rally, so it was like bikers everywhere.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It was just really loud, and I could tell that the actors, Shannon and Alyssa, were kind of having problems concentrating with the noise, and it was just kind of horrible. And so I got cranky for like 5 minutes and then was like, okay, what are we going to do? All right, I'm going to rewrite this part, and so it's going to take place in the hotel room. Let's go. And you just kind of do what you got to do.
Sure.
And make it happen.
Sure. I mean, the limits of low-budget filmmaking. I mean, you do... Whoops.
Yeah.
You have to adapt. I mean, it's just one of those things. With the... Because there's some cuts in the film where you go from wide shots and then you do the digital zoom where everything's blown up. Was that something that you thought about while you're shooting it, or was it something once you got into editing, you kind of had an idea of, like, you wanted to do it in certain places? Because you don't use it a lot, but you use it, you know, enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of... before Ludlow, I worked exclusively in iMovie.
Okay.
Like, you know, iMovie 4 or something, which has no sort of, you know... I can't do anything with iMovie. You know, it's I can make a sepia tone so it looks like you're in the Old West, but,
yeah,
like, that's about the only effect I can do.
Yeah.
And then for Ludlow, I graduated to Final Cut, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can reframe my shots. I can do – and none of that sort of was in my mind when we were shooting because I've never been able to do that before. So when we were shooting, it was whatever I'm seeing through the camera is what's going to end up on screen. And then I got my hands on this computer program, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, I have options here. So,
was it tempting not to overdo the toys that you now had?
A little. I tried to have them always serve the story. Because that's always number one, hopefully. It's like, yes, trickery is fun and style is awesome, and I hope there's a little bit of style to the movie, but if your story sucks... Or if the narrative doesn't work, then it doesn't matter how pretty it is. In the end, it's going to be an unsatisfying product.
I thought it was very effective. I mean, because you went, like I said, you use the digital zoom. You also go from color to black and white. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I thought it was really well done. So, you know, for what it's worth.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You're like one of the first people who I don't know who's seen the movie.
Oh, well,
so.
There you go. Well, it really is well done, and everybody out there listening, you have to see this when it comes out, and we'll get into that later on. Now, Shannon, a lot of blood in this film. There are a lot of scenes where you've got blood going all over the place. obviously, you've worked with blood before in your photos and stuff like that. I mean, is it something that after a while, it's just, how do you work with it after as much as you do on this? Because you do have a
know.
Lot.
I just get used to it. I've done bloody stuff for, like, you know, film and photography, but it's the most of it has actually come from the stage shows. Like, I've been trying to perform on stage and like slipping around in blood. Mm-hmm. And that's been really crazy. So, like, you know, doing a film where I get covered in blood is no problem, you know, because it's not like I'm like slipping around in heels, like trying to perform like the can-can. So,
yeah.
So, you know, like Stacey used like Ben Nye blood, and that's like, you know, it's a really nice blood, you know, it has like a minty taste, it doesn't taste like crap, so it was pretty easy. Whenever we added the glass, you know, the glass bottle that
yep.
breaks, like the fake glass,
yep.
I've never done that before, so that was a new experience, and it was really cool because it looked like glass was like in my skin.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I know the scene
so
you're
I
talking
could, like,
about.
Rub
yeah.
it around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could rub it around, and I got really into it. So when we're doing, like, the stabbing scene, I don't know how much Stacey wants to give away, but basically when we're doing the stabbing scene at the end, I was like, so how do you want me to do this, you know? How do you want me to stab? Because there's so many different ways to stab.
Yep.
And she was like, I don't know, like, maybe a little sexual? And I was like, okay, and I just went with it. And...
Yeah, well, you know, it does,
it,
you know what, it does come across, though, and I like the irony that's kind of used in that sequence, because, and, yeah, without giving anything away, there is a real irony to that moment that I thought really worked. And before we started rolling on this, Stacey and I were talking, and I was telling her that the sound that was made during that stabbing sequence is really disturbing and very effective.
It is, and yeah,
she was stabbing,
and we put plastic down on the ground, and it's, you know, the stabbing takes place off camera, off screen, and she was just stabbing the floor, basically, with this breakaway glass bottle, and, you know, it sounded really great, and I was like, that's awesome, because I don't have to find some bad stabbing sound effect. And, like, there's a sequence in it when somebody gets punched in the face.
Yep.
And to find the sound effect, because the person did not really get punched in the face. I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah.
But none of my actors actually got punched in the face. But finding a decent sound effect for that was really difficult.
Sure. I mean, a lot of it is the cartoon punches or the over-the-top
yeah.
punches, which you don't want to use
yeah.
In this. Speaking of sexuality, there's a scene early in the film where you're on the bed. It's the first night you're staying at the hotel. It's pretty intimate shooting.
Let's just say it. She had the character masturbating.
Yeah,
let's
her character masturbates on the bed. And how does that, as an actress, how do you kind of, you know, how does that
well,
work?
That was interesting, because I love cheap hotel rooms, and that's kind of how, like, Ludlow kind of came about, is that Stacey and I were talking about our love for, you know, like, roach hotels, like, roach,
yeah.
you know, motels and things like that, and just, like, places, like, in the desert. We both love the desert, and so we wanted to shoot something in the desert, and, you know, just, like, the cheapness of it. So, all, you know, and, like, you know, the sheets and how there could be sheets. Like, I mean, it's just stuff on the sheets, and, you know, it's just a really nasty kind of place. So going to Ludlow and, you know, and experience, you know, and even being able to communicate with the townspeople, really, you know, in the trailer park right next door, it really helped to get myself into that position where I'm like, okay, I'm masturbating in a cheap motel room, because, I mean, who hasn't? You know, I have plenty of time. Like, so, and just, you know, it just feels dirty, you know, it just
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
So with Stacey, it was great because, you know, there are two other actors in the film, but they were arriving. They hadn't gotten there yet. Like, they arrived maybe like 20 minutes after we finished shooting that
yeah.
scene. So we had to get it done, because then they were going to be there. And even if they were going to, you know, of course they would have been outside while
yeah.
I was doing that. But still, you know, you want to get there. So it was actually very painless.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was very easy with Stacey just to be like, okay, no, I'm going to masturbate. All right. And so she, like, directed me a little bit, but,
yeah.
like, it wasn't... It just didn't seem like that big of a deal. Like, if it was a bigger
sure.
set, and then it has to be, like, this big deal, you have to close everything, and
yep.
people have to leave, and then they're like, oh, my God, now we're going to do the masturbation scene.
Yeah.
Then it's a little nerve-wracking.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But, yeah, she turned on the TV. Yeah, it was good. For me, and I mean, the way that it's written and everything, I think that the scene serves a purpose in the bigger story.
Yeah.
Totally! And so, it's also one of those things, you know, I told her beforehand, hopefully, like, you know, I hope that you trust me with this, and it's not about exploiting you, it's not about a hot girl, like, touching herself. It's not meant to turn on the audience. If they get turned on, like, that's cool, but that's not the goal of it.
Yeah, it's
because
certainly, yeah,
it's
certainly
a weird thing. Like, sex is weird.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's weird, and it's really it can be dirty, weird. And, you know, all of this, and so that's what I wanted to kind of go for, and so I told her what I was going to do. Like, here are the shots I'm going to do. I'm not going to, you don't see anything, you know, it's not like she's topless doing this. It's not, she's not, you know, rubbing her tits, like, I'm so hot, I can't help but touch myself. Like, it's not like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know, I wanted her to trust me that I wasn't going to make her look stupid,
well, that's,
or bad.
Yeah,
or
that's the part that, because between that scene and we were talking about the stabbing scene, you know, these scenes that revolve around sex but aren't sexy. It's that's what I liked about this film, is that it brings out real emotions without really kind of, I guess, Hollywoodizing it, I guess. I would see if this film were done in a mainstream by a studio or something, instead of the trauma that's shown in this film, I think it would be more of the stalking that would be the central part of this film. But with you guys making it, it's definitely a film more about trauma, which I really enjoyed, because I think that would be more of the realistic side of this story. If I were to read about this in a newspaper, I think this would be more along the lines of what that would be.
Yeah, exactly. And like ugly. I like dirty. I kind of like the ugly side of life and the unglamorous side. Like, that's much more interesting to me than, you know, if this is a big budget film, it would have been Kate Beckinsale, you know, glamorously touching herself in a bubble bath. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Totally different. Instead of like, no, it's weird, it's dirty, there's a hooker having sex next door, you know, it's, she's into like this drug haze, you know, it's just kind of interesting to me.
Speaking of which, Shannon, as an actress, I mean, because there are some moments in the film that, I'll call them weird moments that go on in the movie without giving it away of what the story is, but there's some weird moments that are happening. For you, was it kind of just cool to just go with it, or did you try to go, okay, well, this is the scene where, you know, I'm talking to my sister, and now here's a scene all the, you know, where weird things are happening. Was it something that you tried to just go by the numbers with, like, try to comprehend, like, okay, what's happening here? Or did you just kind of go, okay, this is what's happening, and I'm just going to go with it?
Stacey would explain things enough, and she would, like, explain why, you know, what I'm doing and why I'm doing this. You know, I'm not the type of actor who has to ask, like, well, what is my motivation?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, is she explained it enough to the point where it's like, okay, I got it. So it felt very natural for me just to kind of go with things. Mm-hmm. And if I had a question, she would answer it. But I feel like that's where a lot of directors lack, is that they don't talk to their actors enough. They don't explain things enough to the point where the actor's like, okay, I actually understand what you're saying, and I know what sort of emotion to convey that with.
Yeah.
And so, and it's funny because, you know, 6 years ago, whenever, 6 or 7 years ago, when I started my career and found out what I really want to be doing, like, it's so funny because I would, you know, ask the universe or God or however you want to think of it, or even just yourself or the way the energy works, asking, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be in movies. Like, I want to be acting. This is, you know, I finally found my calling. Like, this is what I want, and I'm trying to open up this space in my life where this is what I can bring in. And so since then, I have been asked for so many films, like, so, I mean, like, terrible, like, okay, now in this scene, you're having sex with this girl, and you have a strap on, then you're going to kill this guy. And I'm like, what is this? This is like, you know, like, I know porno, like, okay, porno does have a place, but that's not what I want. And this is like these are supposed to be like horror films. And it's like, slasher films are great, but like, dude, come on. It's like, I've had a really hard time finding people who actually take me serious as an actress. And so working with, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to work with Stacy, because I knew that she would take me seriously. And so whatever we did, whether it was a short or a feature, whether it, I don't even care. Well, I superimposed on top of a, you know, like with a Barbie doll head. Like, it didn't matter because she would take me seriously, because the content would be serious enough to the, you know, where I was like, wow, that was so much fun. I want to do that again. So it was a really thrilling experience to actually be. I've only been on a couple sets that has happened before. So
and
it was really
cool. I wanted
cool.
to make it worth her while too, because she here was somebody who, you know, for whatever reason, did sign an African contract and clearly wanted to work with me. So I wanted to give her something that would be, you know, worth an African contract,
yeah.
you know. So, and yeah. I mean, if you want to make a horror movie that features, like, girls making out and each other with strap-ons, like, go for it, but have it serve the story somehow. Don't just do it because it's hot when girls make out.
Sure. I mean, it just becomes an exploitation.
Yeah,
film,
which has its place, I guess.
Yeah, but
really
I think...
It totally has its place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the more the merrier, but it's just like, it's so funny because all I was asking for and all I was projecting is like, I want to be in movies. And now I'm like, wait. No. I want to be in movies where I'm portraying actors that I actually care about, that I would even respect, even if they are victimized. You know what I mean? Like, I want...
Sure.
Yeah. It's good.
Well, you know, and I think, too, nowadays, especially, well, I guess over the last 20 years with home video, the horror film, I think, to some degree has been cheapened because it's just so easy to just, you know, fire away, you know, just shoot video and throw a lot of blood and get a bunch of people, put them together and make a quote-unquote horror movie. And it's even gotten to the point of mainstream horror films where we've gone through the torture porn bit and it seems like... You know, obviously sex and horror are always going to be combined, but I think it's gotten to a point where it's just gotten out of control, where, like we've talked about, lack of story, and, you know, it's too bad because it doesn't have to be that way. There is a place for everything, unfortunately, sometimes, you know.
Well, we were just talking, Shannon and I were actually talking about that last night, that to me, it's like, independent horror, like horror itself is such a fan-driven genre. You know, somebody who was in some obscure horror movie for 35 years ago is revered by the fans, and they line up for an autograph at a convention. And I think a lot of horror fans have a desire to make a horror film because they love the genre so much. But not all of them are concerned with story. It's more, oh, wouldn't it be cool if two girls made out and then a zombie came and ate them and there was some blood on it? Like, and that's as far as it gets. And because the technology is so readily available now, they can do that.
Yeah.
They can go make that movie, you know, but they're not interested in telling a good story or whatever. And that's cool, you know, but it's like romantic comedies. Mary Sue Housewife doesn't go to see the latest Jennifer Aniston film and then have a burning desire to make one of her own. So you don't get as many sort of homemade romantic comedies,
sure.
I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When...
And I'm hoping... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, please.
Well, I'm hoping that is changing, you know, like, of course, like, now that the digital technology is so readily available that there will, there's always going to be crap or stuff that you don't like or things that don't necessarily, like, you know, you're probably not going to watch with your significant other as like, hey, let's have a fun movie night, you know, and, you know, I totally think that there should be all different kinds of movies, and one, you know, one type of movie that somebody thinks is bad, another person not going to. So I think there's room for all of it, but I'm hoping, and I mean, I would like to say that I'm seeing now that you know, more women and more men are coming out who are interested in making good stories, and they're picking up the cameras too, just as many as people who are not making good stories.
Let me just have a caveat here that I am not saying that my stuff is not crap. Like, I'm not sitting here saying these things thinking that I'm some kind of horror auteur or an artist or anything like that. You know, I will say that, you know, I wrote a slasher script and it's going to follow a formula, and there's going to be a point in the script where you have six people and they need to separate. You know, so that
sure.
the killer can pick them off one by one. But you need to try to figure out a way to do that that's believable.
Sure.
And, you know, and you just see so many movies that aren't, like, they follow the formula, but it's like, oh, great, like, oh, they have no cell phone reception, okay, you know, it's just, so it's just kind of taking the formula and doing it smartly, hopefully,
well,
as look, I use the word smartly.
I mean, like, I've seen the film, I think, again, you guys did an amazing job with this movie, and, you know, look, you know, anybody out there with half a brain would know that, you know, a lot of movies are being made, a lot of movies are coming out. And even if a film comes out that's made on $50, you know, if you see that the potential is there, you know, I at least am one of the people that, that give it more credit, because it's like, well, if they did this with $50 or $100 or $5,000, what do you think they would have done on $1 million or $5 million?
Right.
And that's why, you know, some of my favorite movies of all time are independent, low budget, maybe corny films, but at the same time, there's a lot to it. And I think with your film, there's a lot to it. There's character, there's a story, there's development, you know, there's, you know, the horror element. And, you know, when people see this film, I think they're really going to appreciate it for what it is.
Neat. Thanks. Yay. Thank you.
Of course. I mean that. I'm not saying that because I have both of you on right now. I really do. I think it's a.
I would hope not. I mean, I hope if you didn't like it or it didn't work for you. Like,
yeah,
I know that not everybody's gonna like it.
Well,
like,
you know,
it's just not. It's not fast cuts and, you know, jump cuts and all this. It doesn't have a fast pace. It's, you know.
I'm starting to notice.
That's cool.
I'm starting to notice because I've seen your film now. I've seen Women's Studies, which was directed by Lonnie Martin, and I've seen Thicker Than Water, which Philip Messerer directed. And all low-budget independent horror films, and I'm noticing a trend that's coming back, and it's letting the story develop, giving it some breathing room, as opposed to quick cuts, blood splatter everywhere, you know, jump scares every 5 seconds. I'm starting to see that trend coming back, which is refreshing, because those are the films that all of us saw growing up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, I mean, yes, I like Final Destination. You know, I like popcorn movies where at the end of the day, I don't even know the characters' names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't tell one from the other. I enjoy those kind of movies, but I also like character-driven pieces, and I like seeing people's stories and their lives unfold. So that's more what I was trying to do with this.
Well, and when the last time you were on, I liked the conversation we had about Friday the 13th Part 2, and if people go back and listen to that about, I mean, you made some really good points about why it's such a good horror film. And here it is, you know, it's a Friday the 13th movie. So, I mean, that's the beauty of the genre, is that you can take different pieces of it and, you know, you can either go one direction or, you know, anyway. A lot of selection. Now, when you decided to make this film, you also decided to post a diary on your website, finalgirl.blogspot.com. How did that come about?
I don't know. How did that come about? I think I initiated it, and for once I wanted to talk about something that I was doing. I try to keep my personal stuff off of Final Girl, but I think I was proud of the fact that I was doing it, that I was kind of making a feature, and so I wanted to tell people. And so I thought that would be kind of a cool way to go about it, was for me and Shannon to go back and forth talking about it, because it was such a weird story of how it all came together. I thought people would dig it. So,
well, it's great. It's a great insight as to the filming of this movie. And again, if people want to go back and they want to read it, it's finalgirl.blogspot.com. And the name of the piece is I Made a Movie, right?
So I Made a Movie.
So I Made a Movie.
Yeah. Because I think that was how I started the first piece. Was like, hey, so I made a movie.
So
because I get press releases all the time for movies that are like. Not even started. You know, somebody writes a script and they feel the need to put out a press release about it. Or, you know, hey, I talked to my mom about this movie. You know, I better send out a press release.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one to do that or kind of talk about myself in that way. So it just kind of started out really casual. Like, hey, guess what I did last weekend? I made a movie. You know?
And I think it's great for people who want to, you know, the people who've never made a movie before. And they're like, oh, wait a minute, you both made a movie and you were the crew and you just did it and that's how you did it, but you did it. And so I think it helps people to, it kind of like disintegrates the illusion that Hollywood gives of like, oh no, this is way too sophisticated for any normal person to be able to learn. You know, a lot of people have these weird hang-ups about filmmaking. It's like, oh, well, that would just be too complicated. I would never be able to do that because, you know, it takes so much expertise. And it's like, okay, you know what? It starts by picking up a camera.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of what the So I Made a Movie series, at least if I was looking online and I've never been a filmmaker before, I would be totally into it because it really, like, it cuts down all the illusions.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it does.
Hopefully it's like an entertaining read and hopefully somebody will look at it and be inspired maybe to go and make their own.
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that want to make movies, and now with all these prosumer tools out there with Final Cut and Pro Tools and, you know, video cameras, and I mean, it's, I would think that somebody who is interested, if they saw that, they would want to read it and learn, you know, how to do it. They were smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you at right now with the film, as far as editing goes?
I am still kind of putting the finishing touches on it, like finessing some of the scenes, even just taking out a shot or two and just kind of trimming. And it needs a little bit of music, a little color correcting, like just things like that, like just the final sort of edit, basically. And then I need to start thinking about distribution.
Yeah.
And getting it out there, and that is terrifying to me because I don't know what I'm doing at all.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, well, I would think between the two of you, you have probably quite a few connections that will be able to help, I would hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, this is where, you know, the entire industry is going anyway, you know, these cheaper made films that, you know, distribution companies don't have to pay, you know, millions of dollars to get something created. I mean, it's a lot easier, I think, to distribute your film now than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you can self-distribute your film. So there are a lot of options that Stacey and I have been talking about. So I think it's just, you know, a matter of getting the film done and just getting it out there. And, you know, it's pretty exciting.
Woo! It's cool. It's kind of, you know, it'll be strange to just put it out there. You know, I'm going to have to not read any reviews or anything like that. Because it is what it is, you know,
yeah.
And you can always learn, but I don't know. I just want to get it out there so I don't have to think about it anymore.
Sure, sure. Well, who knows? Maybe, well, maybe sequel. Maybe they'll love it so much they'll want a sequel of some sort.
Right. Oh, my God. Ledlow Return.
Ledlow
right.
2.
Krista's Revenge.
Well, I can't believe how quickly time goes by, and I certainly don't want to end our interview on this note. Because there's a lot of things I want to get into. So why don't we bring you back for next show, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the work that the two of you are doing and your individual projects, Chainsaw Mafia, Viscera, Final Girl. So what do you say we meet again next week, same time, same channel, and we'll pick this conversation up?
I can do that.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yay.
Woo! And that concludes part one of my interview with Shannon and Stacy. Trust me, folks, they're just getting warmed up. Wait until you hear next week. Next week, we're going to talk about another film that they did together called Lipstick. you better get ready for that one. I know. I kind of got thrown off my game during that part. We're also going to talk about what you can expect to see at this year's Viscera Film Festival. We're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Twilight, actually, and why is it that there are some in the horror community that are just so upset about this film series, and we're going to talk about a whole lot of other stuff. So come back next week for part two of my interview with Shannon and Stacy. Like I said, this interview, they're just getting warmed up. And of course, as always, as you exit the graveyard, I'd like to remind you to please lock the gate behind you. We wouldn't want anyone to get out. Until next time.
The Graveyard Show podcast is a proud sponsor of the Women in Horror Convention, presented by Last Doorway Productions, in honor of Bay Area Women in Horror. The convention is coming to San Francisco on Saturday, February 27th, at the San Francisco Center on 1800 Market Street. Scheduled to appear are Di Green, Dottie Lux, Casey Hansen, Michelle Fatale, Raina Young, Val Kilmore, among others. Of course, the guest list is subject to change. Admission is free, and to learn more, go to lastdoorwayproductions.com. That's lastdoorwayproductions.com.
Last Doorway Show features interviews, news, conventions, and independent horror films. Hosted by Miss Misery. Follow her journey through the horror genre as we discover the inner workings of the horror world. Visit thelastdoorwayshow.com.
Good evening, friends of the undead. This is the Deacon of Darkness, the posthumous pimp, Freak Show.
And I am the diva of dismemberment, mistress of the blade, June the Meat Cleaver.
Myself, along with the Harlots of Horror, host the online video podcast, Bordello of Horror. Check out all the twisted fun with featured films, news, interviews, reviews, and more.
I personally dare you to step into the Bordello at MadisonHorror.com.
That's MadisonHorror.com.
MadisonHorror.com.